Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
The fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio now on demand.
The new celebration rules are in place and Pepsi is all for it. Antonio, what have you got in mind? Bit of a throwback. Looks like the Charleston. You never see that in football or anywhere.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Keep it locked. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like always, it's my humble pleasure that you allow me into your homes and your hearts. And you know how you can reach out to me, right? You can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com or BennyOnDemand.com. You're listening right here on Bashani Radio and worldwide on iHeartRadio. Today's show, we're going to be talking about relationships. And we have a long-time listener and relationship connoisseur. His name is Mr. Alvin. I call him the H-Man. You know what I mean? Because he be holding it down. You hear what I'm saying? And but he has some really, really interesting thoughts on relationships, on women of color. And he holds nothing back. So we want to welcome Alvin to the show. Alvin, how are you doing, brother?
Man, I am doing great. Just enjoying my Sunday here in Houston, Texas, man. A little rainy. But I'm ready to just talk about this. And hopefully many people can get something out of it.
There it is.
Different perspective. We'll go from there.
If you don't know, you know, Alvin is always online and he be dropping it about relationships he's been through and things. Alvin, tell my listeners, where are you at now in love?
In love, man, I'm not too freshly, but, you know, kind of recently out of a long-term relationship. but I'm at my highest level of clarity about relationships, who I need, who I'm becoming as a man, and who I desire as a woman in my life, and the nature of relationships that I need right now in my life. It's very peaceful. It's calm. I've learned a lot of lessons from my past relationship, and I've become so much de-triggered from anxieties or issues that may have been things that the relationship that I just ended helped me to work through. So that's where I am right now.
You know what I like? Like what you said, the most important, you said you're at your highest level of clarity. And has a broken heart, as many broken hearts, gotten you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, man. I'm listening.
No, that was a question, Mr. Alvin. I say, have many hearts or broken hearts gotten you to that level of clarity?
You know what? My path has been quite unique. I've been a late bloomer when it came to love and in relationships. I'm a product of a 36-year-old marriage. And unfortunately, recently my father passed away.
Our condolences.
It was a wonderful experience. I got to see the operation of a man being faithful and diligent in his marriage to his wife. I got to see, and I still get to see, a wife who carried that man's legacy until his last breath. So,
how long was your father married?
So they had a 30. No, yeah, it's true. It was like they got married in 1981, shortly before I was born. So we're looking at what, the 35, 36 year old range of an actual marriage.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, cool. Now we're gonna get down into the nitty gritty. We're about to go hard right now, Evan, and I want you to be, you say you're at your highest level of clarity, so I want you to be as transparent as possible, and I want you to drop it like I see you drop it online. So here's my first question.
Even people who go listen, they gonna say, oh, they gonna say, what the what in the world? Well, let's do it.
There it is. So here's my first question, Alvin. Is dating a black woman different from dating any other woman?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And for me, based upon my experience, I would say that I can't quite accurately answer that, because all of my dating has been mostly with African-American women. So all I would have is perceptions of dating.
Give us a little bit of those perceptions, my friend, because we're going to go into a dialogue. I'm going to be all over the place, and I'm going to just be shooting a match here, and I want you to drop it like I know you drop it, brother.
Yeah, let's go. Of course, you think from the perception that dating a woman of another race is going to be a more, unfortunately, calmer experience, because there's not a general cultural animosity.
Ooh,
there.
You said a bad word. You said a calmer experience. Are you suggesting that black women relationships are not calm?
I am suggesting that there is a lot of what's the word? There's a lot of late underlying antagonism between the general African-American man and the African-American woman right now. We all know of successful black relationships that don't have that. But when you start doing the averaging out of the generalities of it, you start to see that there's more antagonism than not. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, because I don't want to be politically correct today. I want you to go in like you normally go in. Because I see you kind of what I see you kind of dancing around the words, and you know, I'm not gonna have you up here on the bit around the show dancing around the words. Okay. You know what I mean?
If we're dealing with the absolute dark side, yes, there are control issues with black women. There are extreme high expectation issues with some black women. There are, those are big ones. That, of course, you know, there are trust issues, which leads back to the control issues with black women. Are you talking about deeper things such as deception, manipulation, and guiding men in the situation? Or let's go this angle.
Alvin,
women who feel that they,
Alvin,
yes, yes, sir.
You are not asking any questions. You are answering the questions. So don't come back to me with questions. I want answers. I'm putting you on the hot seat. And you in the hot seat. Here's what Alvin said on one time on the Business of Life and Love. He said, you want a mate that is exceptional in so many ways, yet you want the same mate to make so many compromises, exceptions, and understanding who you are and what you bring to the situation. He said, well, bad deals are made every day. May you win against those odds in negotiations. Please explain yourself, my friend.
Yes, this is talking about, since we're talking about women, we're talking about some women who have an inflated idea of who they are and what they bring to a relationship, but in the expectations of the mate that they want, while at the same time, yes, expecting that man to make certain, to make exceptions for him. You want to talk about physicality, make exceptions about their body shape and how they upkeep themselves. If you're talking about finances, to pitch in and help pay for bills in their life and things like that. If you're talking about sexuality, he has to be the aggressor 9 times out of 10, and he has to take the intensity of sexuality that she brings. She's just what they call a dead fish or something like that. So you have a lot of ladies, African-American women, since we're focusing on that tonight, who have these extreme high expectations of the man that they desire ideally, but they fall short of many of those standards or criteria that they require of the man.
Alvin, I've heard a lot of, you know, being on the radio for now more than 15 years, I've heard a lot of women say there's a shortage of good black men. Is that a fact?
I will explain it like this, because there's a shortage of exceptional people. And when it comes to mating and relating between men and women, especially concentrated between black men and black women, on both sides, everyone's looking for excellence, but they may not meet their excellence. They want their excellence to pull them up into their excellence instead of being an excellence that attracts them to excellence. We focus it back on African-American women. There you have it. You have the women who are looking for a perfect, monogamous, highly achieving man who is definitely sexually appealing and in shape, and when you add them to that matching and complement to that criterion, they fall short of it. But that's their mental conditioning for that.
Do you think do you think that dating an African American woman requires more?
Requires more
TLC or more patience than most, because a lot of times I hear from people.
No,
so that's why I want to asking you.
The way that it works is really publicly they want to say TLC and service, but you must always watch the actions of someone. what draws women generally more is a certain assertiveness about yourself. And that's what the quote-unquote bad boy generally has more than the nice guy. Nice guy asks for permission. The assertive a-hole guy simply either implicitly or non-implicitly makes the demand, and the woman decides to comply. That's how that goes. So to answer your question, no. It's a certain assertiveness. It's a certain firmness that you need as a man that draws the women to you more likely than not.
So what have you learned in the language of love going through the relationship you have? You seem to be a little bit more up than Pep. What have you learned, my friend?
Here's what I've learned. You really, truly have to be the focal point of your values, your needs, and your desires first. And once you do that, you're going to turn a lot of people off, but the ones that come your way are going to be the ones for you.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that as you have a certain values about how you carry your daily life, the levels or the kind of respect that you need in order to have a relationship with somebody, those things, as you live them daily to the point to where they don't become something you think about daily, they just naturally come out of you, you tend to draw people who can respect that. You will draw other people in that will come in closer to see what you are all about, and some, and you know, fade away because they realize that either you don't match what they want or their agenda, or you don't, or you're just too intense for them that you just don't match for them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Alvin, give me two things you didn't know about love that you found out in your last relationship.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, the biggest thing was you can love more than one person at a time.
Oh, I'm not gonna let you just back down. Yeah, we're gonna back up on that. So are you telling me a man can love two women at the same time? And
yes,
totally.
Yes, you can. The difference is two things. The difference is the perspective that you have for the person, and also the depth of the love. And now the perspective that you have for the person, is this person more of a friend-like type of person to you, or is this someone that...
No, Alan, you said a man can love two women at the same time, yeah, and that's okay. That's what you just said, Alvin. Now, don't try to throw the friend word in there. Of course a man can have women as friends, but that's not what you said, my friend. You said a man could love two women at the same time. That's what you said.
Yes.
And I will rewind this tape on you, too, if you say you didn't say it. Let's go.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is that when you talk about love generally, we're not just talking about romantic love, Benny. We're talking about that platonic love as well. Now, if you want to bring it into the romantic atmosphere, let's go there. Yes, you can. You can love one woman for the nurturing things that you do to you. So, you know, the cooking,
explain what is platonic love. What does that mean? I've never heard that term.
Platonic love is basically the non-sexual love. So you have excellent conversation with this person and friendship, and y'all just click on more of a mental level than a sexual level.
Oh, so you're saying that. So you're saying that a man could have one woman that mentally stimulates him, and then have another woman that physically stimulate him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, this is no secret to
most women don't want a man to have another woman that he sees more than her. You know that, right?
Of course not. However, However, that goes back into the ego aspect that both men and women deal with. If we want to talk about the ego aspect that women deal with tonight, it is one of those things. And that's what is one of the seeds of jealousy that is developed, or insecurity that's developed because of that. And that's just a human nature thing. It really comes down to how the man handles it, whether he indulges in it or not. He has free will to do that. His free will determines that. His choice and his free will determines to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, at 12:57 p.m. Houston, Texas time, here's what Alvin had to say. He said, "I'd rather have a series of many romantic relationships, but if my relationships ever break down, I'd rather have a series of breakups rather than a series of divorces." What do you mean, Alvin? Those are your words. Yes, you did.
I said I'd rather not have a series of many romantic relationships.
Oh, my God. I forgot that one word.
Yes, you did, man. Bruh,
ladies and gentlemen, you see how I tried to ham them up on that one?
Yeah, I had it up. Anyway, no, I honestly really wouldn't rather not. Again, I come from a 36-year-old marriage where I saw the marriage actually work. I didn't see any major drama, no cheating or anything like that. So I have a certain predisposition towards committed and married relationships. However, because of the way that the laws are becoming much more onerous towards not just the man, but more of the party that has the higher assets, the business arrangement of commitment and marriage is something that the person who has the most to lose really has to consider, be it man or woman. So that's why I wrote that as I was in my nicotine high smoking a hookah last night.
Okay, he gonna blame it on the Snoop Dogg smoke, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, all right, he knew what he was writing. He knew where to write it, right? So we gonna hold him to that. He gonna be like, oh no, I just wrote that because I was somewhere. No. You knew where to go. You knew how to press in. Okay, it takes a little control to be able to do that.
The hookah just kind of let me be a little bit extra real with it. We'll go with that.
Okay, brother. We're going to hold them to the flow. Hold them to the flow with it.
Do it. I'm ready.
So let's go back to what we were talking about with the two women. So it seems like you kind of cleaned that up a little bit. You seem like you was like, oh, a man could have a friend. You know what
I mean?
It. But that's
when
not what I got from it when you said it.
Before you went to the man's side, I'm talking to you about direct experience, really. From what I have felt and understood in the heart of a woman. Yes, there could be several people in your heart at the time. Usually it's a ex from a past relationship, or somebody not even from an official relationship. It's just somebody that's been floating in and out of your life. During your relationships.
We are not going to beat around the bush. Alvin, have you dated two women at the same time?
Okay. I mean, how more deeper we need to go, Mr. Benny?
I'm just asking questions, my friend. I said Alvin, and this is a question. And don't give me your political answer either. Alvin, have you dated two women at the same time?
Actually, no. I have not. I'm one of those rare people that like when I have a relationship with somebody, I'm with them until I'm with them, and then before, you know, and I don't cross over into those relationships. However, I've been in a relationship with someone who what they call monkey branches.
What does that mean?
They start monkey branching means you set up another romantic or sexual situation with somebody before you end the relationship with the other person.
And that's called monkey branching?
Yes, it is called monkey branching.
I thought that was just called an exit plan.
Called what?
An exit plan.
Monkey branching, exit plan, cheating, whatever you want to call it.
You know, one of those things, like, I know I'm about to leave, so since I'm about to leave, I want to set this up.
You know, that stuff starts forming, you know, six to nine months before the end of the relationship, because somebody is either bored or whatever. They start entertaining more of that person's company and energy in their life. And start telling the other person about your current situation that you have with this other person. And that person plays that listening ear and builds intimacy.
Now the reason I want to invite you here, because I want to go deeper into African-American women, because we was having a conversation offline, and I want to hear it here, and I want to share it with the people. Let me ask you the question this.
I'm right here.
Why, or what's your opinion, or why there's so many single professional African-American women not married?
They are encouraged to be highly competitive, highly mentally competent, and highly competitive to their male counterparts. And they are also, in many cases, subsidized to do so. So when you have that dynamic going, what is there left in that dynamic to really have them, quote unquote, desire or need a man?
Now, can you answer that in English?
But that was pretty. That was
because it sounded so political. I just want to get to the nitty. I just want to get to the nitty gritty. Why are there so many professional, good looking, well educated, high earning African American women that are still single?
The women are taught to operate like men, and they are also enabled by different institutions to do so. I don't remember, like a couple of years ago, there was an ad out for single mothers for either free tuition or assisted tuition. So they have easier access into academic schools for different things. Now, so many take advantage of it and actually pass and succeed and things like that. Also, in the corporate environment, they are less threatening. If we're going to talk about racial and power dynamics as well.
No. I want to talk about why they single.
Oh, this is what it's going to. Okay. So they have a generally more public, higher position than their black male counterparts. And they're also socially conditioned to believe that anything less of a degree achievement is lesser than them. So you got garbage men out here making $100,000 a year, but because it's a dirty job, it doesn't match their ideal of the man that they want in their life. That's what I'm saying. Mm.
So, in other words, you're saying because they're so focused and they are having man tendencies, that's kind of what I'm getting from your answer, is why they are not attracting that man, because a man is not really trying to be with another man. He's trying to be with a woman. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. The dynamic is off. Because they're the, if you want to call it polarities or whatever, it's off. But they have to be in this position because they are in survival mode, and they don't want to just fully depend upon no man. So who do they end up attracting? They end up attracting more inferior men that's going to go with whatever agenda they feel is.
So
right,
so are you talking about the pretty boy who needs to be kept?
Yep, either kept man or a man who will just simply go with their game plan. You're talking about the quote-unquote alpha females right now.
So are you suggesting that most women who are successful are alpha females? Is that what you're saying?
It requires a certain part of their personality to be highly competitive and to be highly aware, which also brings up the stress that they can have in just competing on that level with other men. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Benny Randall Show. All right, you're listening to the Benny Randall Show right here on Bashani Radio and worldwide on iHeart. We're talking to the relationship connoisseur, Mr. Alvin. And your last name is Hollinger, right? Is that?
Alvin Hollinger, Hollinger. Third, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/purposed1alvinthird.
So, Alvin, in this time where we're having, as I heard a lot of women say, a shortage of good black men, per se, what is your suggestions to them?
Oh, well, there's no easy answer. If you find a man who is comparative to you, treats you well, respects you, and you can have respect for him, hold on tight, grow that relationship. If you cannot, you're going to have to do like a lot of single men do. You're going to have to find your own peace and love with inside yourself. And that's basically it, because it's not just about black men and black women. It's about a changing social dynamic that we're going through right now, which is not going to change for many years.
What is that social dynamic you're speaking of?
Social dynamic that's happening on right now is that everyone wants their freedom without obligation to another. That is what's happening. That is what's happening with the shakedown and all these high-profile men being taken out of their positions because of abusing, sexual harassment issues. A lot of women wanting to be respected, like for instance, slut walks. They want to be respected for who they truly are. People are getting tired of lying to each other. That's what's happening. So when you have that dynamic of people being tired of lying to each other in order to be their real self in the public, you have a situation in which it's a stalemate, because it's a control it's a control issue that people cannot seek to control or shame each other into a way of life that they want to have. Again, back again to the slut walks. These women want to be sexually free. And they want to be dignified for it. They don't want to be challenged for it. They don't want to be shamed into being who they are.
Did you just say slut walk? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Walk. I'm sorry. And before you tell me what that is, just the opinions expressed here are not necessarily that of Bashani Radio, its affiliates, its associates, or advertisers. The opinions expressed here is strictly that of the host and its guests. Go ahead, Alvin.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, the slut walks are actually, they're like annual walks that are starting to happen right now, where women are saying that we want to be dignified and respected, and we want to have our sexuality open and available in culture. And we don't want you questioning any of that. And so what's happening is that a lot of men are reacting to that as well. I mean, some men are still trying to change, but another set of men are saying, well, if you have your total freedom in life, I'm going to have my total freedom in life as well. And so when you talk about the formation of functional relationships, that's only going to happen in certain subcultures. What kind of subcultures are we talking about? We're talking about upper-level subcultures who see marriage more as legacy or in relationships more as legacy in business, something where two people or two representatives from families get together and build and continue to build on that legacy. We're talking about, like, for instance, well, I won't go that deep, but what I'm saying is that marriage and committed relationships are going to be more concentrated around cultures of people who have more assets and financial development ventures than the middle class or the lower class. That's what's going to happen.
You just stopped very abruptly. So,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Let's go back. Are you saying that because the culture of relationships, because the culture of the women dynamics, it's changing the culture of how men will deal with women? Is that what you're trying to say? I just want to make sure I'm clear.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. As men observe more that it's more of a liability, unfortunately, to get into a committed relationship or marriage with a woman, a lot of more men, especially men of middle and lower classes, are going to shy away from that. They're going to shy away from that.
That's very deep. So let me ask you something, Alvin. In the time we're in right now, where do you think true relationships are going? And let me be a little bit more defining about that. We don't seem to be in a time where people are spending 50 and 60 years together anymore. People are getting in marriages and they're getting out almost as quick as they get in. It used to be, all right, for a better word. Now it's like, we got a problem, I'm out of here. What are you seeing happening to the family format since relationships are no longer lasting like they used to?
Okay. Two outcomes. First outcome is the ideal blended family dynamic where the exes get along together, the kids get along together, and they just work it out. The second dynamic, which is reflected a lot in lower class black community, is a hot mess. It's chaos, absolute chaos. Anger, frustration, aggressiveness and passive aggressiveness, the employment of police officers into the homes to take away the fathers, the leveraging of children against the other parent, be it the mother or the father who's paying the child support. Really deep, dark stuff.
Alvin, have you been married?
You know what? I have not been married. However, because of the cohabitation situation I have had, I have to actually file a divorce.
Wow, because you live with a woman for more than a certain amount of years under the same roof?
Either a certain amount of years, or, and this is a lesson for men who cohabitate with women. You live a certain amount of years with the woman, that's life. You come out and announce the woman as your wife to many people, or really, really it's the paper trail that you can develop with the woman. Like if you file taxes together, you sign up for
how can you file taxes together, but you can file filing as a couple.
You can file jointly.
Oh, yes, okay. And you've done that.
It's been done. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
So you were coming off married, basically.
There you go. And then once you do that for, I believe what my attorney said, up to 5 years. Yeah.
Wow. But
especially if you're deciding to make, if you have future plans for other financial moves, you're still technically exposed to that spouse coming after you if ever you make those kind of moves. So it's real. It's real.
So are you saying that if you ain't married, she need to keep her house, you need to keep your house?
What was that again?
Are you saying, so if you're in a relationship for a long time, she needs to keep a place and you need to keep a place so you don't run into that? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. However, because the law is involved, you do need to see marriage more as a business venture, a business merger.
Well, it is. It's a contract. It's a contract, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But a lot of people don't enter into it from a business perspective. They enter it into it from a love and commitment perspective, especially middle class, who generally doesn't have a deeper understanding of how business works. No, you don't have to keep a separate house. You just got to make the decision as to whether the person that you're bringing into your life, are they bringing enough tangible assets to make the merger make sense beyond the love and companionship of it.
Do you regret anything in your last relationship?
Nah, no. It was an excellent lesson. And I wish the ex very much so well.
So you're okay with the lessons that you learn because they help you grow. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. In many of the relationships in our lives, from the age of 16 all the way up to whatever, from 1 year to 7 years to how long ever those relationships last, there's a nugget of wisdom in that. That's what I'm saying.
All right. These last couple of questions, I'm going to directly talk about the African-American woman. There's a lot of men that say they want to date and be with an African-American woman, and they have a hard time dealing with the stress of the relationship because they seem like they're always apologizing for something. They're always having to make something right or make something wrong. What is your take on that?
Well, for me, from my personal experience, that constant apologizing or making right for something, especially if you haven't done something drastically wrong, is the precedent of a control mechanism that is happening in place. Because women generally are not physically strong as men, what does their control mechanism usually look like? It's usually a kind of a passive-aggressive manipulative stance. And it may start off with something as subtle as, I just don't like that shirt on you, you know, or I don't like the way that you eat, or something as small as that. If it can cause behavioral modification in you as a man, and it's something that's relatively harmless, it's a control mechanism.
So in you say you've only dated African American women. So here's what I'm gonna go down. I'm gonna go down a list of myths, and you tell me, is it a myth or is it not? And if it is or if it's not, please explain why.
If it's a myth or is it not?
Right. You're gonna let me know. I'm gonna ask you a series of questions, right? You're gonna let me know is it a myth or is it a fact? Okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. Number one, black women are hard to fall in love with and maintain a long-lasting relationship. Is that a fact or a myth?
Myth. Depends on which woman you choose. Depends on the strength of you as a man. So there's it's not just a hard, cold yes or no on that one. Not at all. But if you find out that you're dealing with somebody who is cold and uncaring and controlling, then you have your answer. why are you still staying there?
Question number two from listeners' questions that I got prior to getting on this show. Black women treat white men when they date them different than they treat black men.
I would say false, because I haven't had any true experience or consistent experience with a black woman dating a white man and just kind of changing up on from the experience.
Number three, black women feel like black men owe them something.
That is true, but that's broadly for all women, because all women want something from a man. If it's not financial security or anything like that, it's some type of emotional security or gratification from them. And of course, you know, the sexual gratification as well. Good, thorough sexual gratification.
Number four, when black women become successful, they no longer date black men.
Not from what I've seen. That's false. You know, they'll still date them, but it's just that those men are definitely have to run a certain gauntlet or either try to be pulled or coerced up if they are not meeting their perfect criteria.
Next one. When black women become successful and make a certain amount of money, they don't date men who make less than they do.
I think, that's true. I think that comes into the correlation of money is just like hype with women generally. Yeah, they may tolerate not having what they want, but at the same time, it's going to eat at them, especially as they conversate with their social circles or interact with their social circles. It's going to eat at them on a certain level.
Next and final question. How important, let me reword this, because the way I asked the question, I gave them options. So which one is more important to women in general? Money, sex, or love?
Oh, well.
And I want you to put them in an order.
Sex first. It's the foundation for the connection between the man and the woman.
So you say women need to, if they're not sexually attracted to you, they could never love you. Is that what you're saying?
If they are not sexually attracted to you, you're not going to see the real woman. You're not going to see the real woman.
Who are you going to see? Her representative?
You're going to see her representative, bro. You're going to see a representative, because, again, just like the height and money thing, there's going to be an underlying frustration that runs throughout that relationship if she's not being thoroughly sexually satisfied. Next thing is that strong sex connection can help facilitate a broader love connection with that woman. And once you have that broader love connection, This is sometimes what happens with the whole bad boy dynamic, is they get that love expands and that attachment happens to that guy, and the standards and the rules that woman had for her ideal mate, sometimes they can be a little justified, or that's where you get the situation where the woman's trying to help the man a little bit too hard, and he really doesn't have any potential. Except for how he slings that love to her, which goes to the next level of money.
So which one is first?
Sex.
Which one is second?
The foundation. Love.
And then number three.
Money.
So why do 50% of divorces end in divorce because of financial?
Because of financial, because they finally got tired of dealing with the financial. But
They didn't say 50%. You know, they didn't say 50% of marriages end in divorce because of sex.
Yeah, that's true, of course. Because, well, I mean, how often do we talk about the strong impact of strong sex in this culture? We really don't. We really don't. That's why I'm saying, like, so just because on the official survey, that wasn't the official answer, that doesn't mean that that's not the official answer.
I hear that. All right, Alvin, your final thoughts, my friend.
We're just going through a transition period. Everybody needs to develop their own confidence, their own love, and their own respect for themselves. As you develop that, you grow an abundance for that. And once, as you develop an abundance for that, you know, you learn who is worthy of receiving that in your life as they come to you. Or who, or if it's being abused or not. The love, respect, and maturity starts with self. From that point, you'll be able to connect with people who are on a closer level than you. And that's it.
Very, very powerful. Alvin, we thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show, where we believe it's your business to know. It is your business to flow. And it is your business to grow, my friend. And I want to thank you. And before we get out of here, my very, very last question is, have you found love now? I'm putting you right on the spot. Because it's just me, you, and a few million listeners. So,
A few million listeners.
That's it.
I have found an excellent prototype for it. Have I found a commitment towards a specific person for it?
Alvin, what in the world? You should be a politician, because the way you talk, boy, you know how to dance around some words. Excellent prototype. Exactly what does that mean?
You have to listen to the Outkast song Prototype. And the song is basically about someone who matches a lot of your desires. And one of the main lines of the song is, I hope that you are the one. If not, you are the prototype, meaning that this person who is impacting you in your life right now in expressing and having the love experience with you that you have, if things don't quite work out with them, they've set a mental and spiritual bar in your life to where you will always be able to look for something similar like that. Not exactly like it, but similar like it, because of the power of that connection that you had with them. That's what prototype means.
All right. Yeah, Alvin has a way of just cleaning stuff up, because the first thing I thought when a prototype, like when we manufacture products and we got like the first sample of it.
No.
That's what I think of prototype. Prototype.
About that too. You're talking about the starter bay, just someone you can practice with.
He said starter bay. Remember, this is Alvin's word. Starter bay. Okay. All right, ladies
starter
and gentlemen.
Starter bay. #StarterBay. BAE. Starter bay. And a lot of people have starter bays. Ain't nothing wrong with starter bay.
Alvin, you got more issues than Oprah magazine. But brother, we love you. I just thought we should put that out there right now. You just got more issues than the Oprah magazine. Brother, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being on this show, man. I appreciate you being on the show. Where can people find you at again, Alvin?
Facebook.com/purposed, PURPOSED, #1, Alvin Third. Three eyes behind it.
Or you can find him at starterbay.com. That's starterbay.com.
Starterbay.com. Get you a starterbay.
Boy, you silly. Thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show, brother. I appreciate you.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for another powerful episode of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. the motivator. And like always, you can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com or at BennyOnDemand.com, our private community where we bring it all to you and kill the noise from the outside, ladies and gentlemen. And make sure you join us next week right back here at the same time, same channel, same bat channel. And remember, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
The Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine releases issues bi-monthly committed to bringing you the very best content from experts around the globe.
With excellence as our standard, we know that you'll soon agree with our goal to become the number one online lifestyle magazine in the world within 24 months.
Our team has committed ourselves to making Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine a household name around the globe.
GLM is a tool created to add value to the lives of men and women globally.
And to reinforce the Jaguare lifestyle in which our brand represents,
ranging from family and relationships, faith and spirituality, success and personal development, business and finance, health, sports, entertainment and fashion, food and travel, education and technology.
To connect with either Jaguare Lifestyle Magazine or Jaguare Inc., visit their websites, JaguareLifestyle.com. That's G-I-G-A-R-E Lifestyle.com. Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.